skip it, stream it, see it, binge views. It's time for binge views. Law, Grill, and Tetsy on some new releases. Don't worry about spoilers. Binge views.
Welcome to Binge Views on the BingeMedia.net podcast network. I'm Alex Moreno, and I work for BingeMedia.net, and Binge Views is our weekly recap of new releases coming out in theaters. As always, I'm joined here on this very special edition by... Oh, hi, Chetsy.
Oh, hi, Alex.
What's going on, buddy?
Not a lot, man. Just got out of this movie that we're going to be talking about a lot, so, yeah.
Super excited about it. I want to hear your thoughts about everything. Before we do that, let's do a little cleaning house and make sure to check out the Binge Sportscast that's out this week. The boys detail the college football playoffs. NFL's winding down, a couple more weeks left. And their pick'ems for the week, and also Small Screen Heroes. Check that out. Batch and Logan are peeping a whole bunch of comic book related shit.
That's right.
Well, there was the new Doomsday Watchmen, that is integrating into the actual DC universe, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
Yeah, they're going over that. They're going over the Punisher. They're going over a bunch of other shit. So make sure to check that out, as well as the flagship, the BingeCast. Always check that out on Mondays. Now, Chetsy, we are here for a very special edition, as we said, for a movie coming out this week. And that movie will be The Disaster Artist. And before we kick it off, what do you... We're not recording in the morning. It's about almost 10 o'clock at night, and I'm imbibing in some drinks. How about you?
You're goddamn right, yeah. I got home from this movie, and I instantly poured myself a gin and tonic.
Oh, what kind of gin?
It's actually just the Costco brand, the Kirkland, so, yeah.
Hey, the Kirkland vodka is pretty good, too, so...
Yeah, it's not bad, and it's like $20 for a giant-ass bottle, so you can't beat that.
Yeah, it's super cheap. Yep. I'm having actually a Lagunitas 9.9% Imperial Stout.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, stouts aren't really my thing, but it's 9.9%.
But it's not wheaty beer though, right?
It's not wheaty beer.
You don't like the wheat, so.
Oh, I don't like the wheats. And the stouts are, I don't know, you can have just like one and that's it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'll be pretty jacked up on this by the time this ends, hopefully. Now, The Disaster Artist coming out this week. And, you know, I found myself on the IMDb checking out, like, you know, some details. And then I remembered how I didn't want to go too far into the cast. Because I didn't want to get a lot of the... Because I'm told that there are a lot of cameos in this. So I didn't want to get any of that shit spoiled.
Yeah, there are cameos out the ass, man. They're just one scene, and then they're in and out. But yeah, it's a very wide range of cameos here.
Awesome. Well, you know, we talked off air about how we're going to approach this. So why don't you tell me, let's see, your thoughts on The Room, on the Disaster Artist book by Greg Sestero, who plays Mark in the flick. And yep. Disaster Artist, My Life Inside the Room, the greatest bad movie ever made, and more importantly, how's your sex life?
That's right. Yeah, so I first saw The Room a couple years ago, me and one of my friends. We'd heard about this movie, kind of watched the trailer online, and we kind of searched it out, found it. We just got really drunk one night, a couple of us, and watched it and loved it ever since. So it's become, yeah, definitely one of those cult movies for us, like it has been many people. So that's my background watching the actual movie, The Room.
Mm-hmm.
I just actually been listening to the Disaster Artist book on Audible here the last few weeks and just finished it actually a couple days ago. So
ooh, I'm right in time.
kind of in my life. And then I actually just rewatched The Room last night with my wife and a couple other people who have never seen this movie before. So I kind of I hyped it up for my wife. Like, yeah, this is one of the, you know, didn't really tell her what it was. I just told her it was a really awesome movie. And so kind of blew her mind at the end of it. She's like, what the fuck did you do to me? But, yeah, there was probably like 8 to 10 of us that watched it last night. And I'd say like 5 of them had never seen it before. So it was a pretty fun experience again.
What was their reaction to the first sex scene that just fucking goes on so long?
They just instantly asked if it was a softcore porn, and they're like, "What the fuck are you guys making us watch right now?" So, I mean, it's pretty much just my reaction too. We're like, "Okay, what the fuck do we do?" Yeah. Like the first time I ever watched it, so
like, if it was softcore porn, at least they'd be better looking people.
Yeah, that's true.
No judgments. So you just finished the book that the Disaster Artist is based on. Law talked at length about it on the BingeCast a couple of months ago. Him and Jack Valley had listened to it independently and reviewed it on the show. Now, what were your thoughts on the book itself?
Yeah, I dug it, man. It was from what Tommy Wiseau says is that 40% of this book is accurate. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're listening from Greg Sestero's perspective, and you know, obviously listening to him tell these stories, it's pretty, you know, you would think that most things he's saying are pretty accurate, just for what you gather from your perspective of Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah,
but he at least keeps it pretty entertaining throughout everything he does. And I mean, I didn't. You know, I've seen The Room a handful of times. I don't know a lot of these stories too that he was telling just about Tommy Wiseau himself. So that to me was probably the most interesting. Those chapters when they're actually talking about the movie, he does kind of go into his background a little bit. Mm-hmm. Trying to, you know, no one really knows the three things about Tommy Wiseau. You know, he's never said how old he is. He's never said exactly where he's from. And then what he no one knows where his money came from.
Yeah, so right.
Just bottomless pit of money that mm-hmm. he's, you know, has funded this movie $5 million. So, yeah, it's that to me is the most interesting part. It's just like, you know, what this dude is like. This is an enigma. No one knows anything about him. He's like this alien. So, you don't really know.
Yeah, that's how, you know, if you're in Tommy Wiseau's position and people are asking you all these questions and like, you notice that you're being asked it more and more and more. Wouldn't you just shut the fuck up about it and just keep the mystique alive?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's got that. So what he says, I think in the book, he says that he found his ID that said he was born in 1968. So that would have made him, you know, 32 around the time they're shooting the movie, The Room, and he just looks so much older. just that mystique is so funny. But that's the thing, man. That's the thing about this movie and, you know, this book and everything. There's something about this guy that is just so, I don't know, it's almost so compelling that it's just like he got this, he made this thing, you know, out of nowhere. You know, it's very, you know, that's almost where the Disaster Artist, the movie and stuff, is coming from. It's just like this uplifting, you know, this dude came from, you know, no one really knows, and he just fucking followed his dream and made this fucking movie. Mm-hmm, so. Mm-hmm.
Is it almost like his positivity that kind of like wins you over? Like for me, over the years, like seeing him in interviews and then obviously the movie, but like, it just seems like a fucking, like a puppy almost.
Yeah, man. It's just, you don't know if you feel super bad for this guy. Cause I mean, clearly he's super, from, you know, these stories and stuff, he's just super, super lonely dude. And, yeah, you know, it's obviously there's not a lot of talk about his family or anything. And so, yeah, you don't know. I mean, that's what I think the movie that we'll talk about a little bit, it goes to that side of, you know, you sympathize with him to an extent, but I mean, he's just, the stuff he's doing is just such, he's just such a douche sometimes. It's just like, dude, like, I don't know. But at the same time, like I said, you still feel for him a bit. So, I mean, I don't know. There's just something about this dude. You just don't know.
Yeah. I remember first seeing the teaser for, you know, the Oh, Hi, Mark scene and just thinking like, I can't believe they're making a movie of this. And all of the people that were in just that teaser.
Uh-huh.
Was just kind of like mind blowing. I mean, it's like the biggest inside movie, like almost the biggest inside movie ever.
Yeah.
Super meta.
Yeah, that's where, like, I don't have that perspective to, like, a lot of it, because I mean, a lot of my friends are big film fans and stuff, so we know what The Room is and stuff, but then I was expecting the theater tonight to be, like, super packed, you know. I was like, oh, crap, we got to get there, get our seats online, all this stuff, and we get there, there's, like, 15 people in the theater, so okay, I don't know, you know, you just live in this bubble of, you know, film fans and stuff, but, yeah, I don't know, it's just this guy... I just can't get over how, you know, he's been like in the last few days, just like with the audiobook and then rewatching it, it's like filled my fucking head with this fucking, I don't know. I can't grasp this fucking guy, man. He's just such an enigma.
Well, let me ask you a question. If there wasn't a movie coming out, would you be reading the book and going like, how would they make a movie out of this? Is it framed in a way that you could make a movie out of the making of The Room or whatever?
See, and that's what I thought with this movie too. Is it going to be just kind of like a, you know, biopic about this guy? But it turned into a little bit more than that. Like, this is like probably the first 30 minutes of it. But going back to your question, I probably wouldn't. No, I probably wouldn't. But I mean. That's like I said, this goes back to something with this dude. It's just like he keeps bringing back. That's what he's like, a genius at this point. This, you know, The Room is just this huge cult thing, and it's just made so much money at this point. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it goes, I don't know. It's the mystery. So,
yeah, I know for years, he used to do a yearly Q&A at the Music Box Theater in Chicago, show The Room, then afterwards. You know, like, he'd answer questions, but I can't imagine that any of those answers would be revealing.
Yeah. apparently all these screenings that still happen, it still has to be all directly approved through him, like, exclusively, like, any screening that ever happens in The Room. I mean, he has every right to everything and, you know, road directed. He had that billboard that was in L.A. for, what, 5 straight years. He just paid for that every whatever.
That's amazing.
And then, yeah, so when the Disaster Artist book came out, it also occupied that billboard. And then this movie now has occupied it, you know, for the past few months. And the number on it as well is the same number that was on it originally. And so apparently James Franco has been answering as Wiseau and just talking to people on it. So the marketing and stuff is just pretty spot on.
That's fucking awesome. And this is, you know, I was looking at IMDb. I'm like, oh, you know, James Franco directed. Not his first directing shot. I mean, he has a fucking long list. And I know he had done some, like, NYU student films when he was there.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, some shorts and stuff like that. But I didn't realize, like, how prolific his directorial prowess was.
Yeah. I've not seen any of his movies that he's directed. I know, like, As I Lay Dying and some of those other ones. Mm-hmm. I've not seen. This is the first one of his that he's actually directed that I've seen. I've always been a big James Franco fan, though. I mean, I have nothing against the guy. Like, mm-hmm. He's not the best actor, but, I mean, he's, you know, I think his comedic stuff, Pineapple Express and everything, he pulls it off pretty. I like him. He's always been pretty funny to me.
Yeah. I like Franco. All right. You want to get into it then, or what?
Sure, man.
All right, let's do it. Now, tell me about the Disaster Artist, the film.
All right, so kind of like how I said, it first 30 minutes is just Greg Sestero's character. He meets Tommy at an acting class, and so that's how they, you know, spark this friendship. And yeah, the rest of the movie is, you know, them being aspiring actors. They move to L.A. and they're just, you know, struggling, just having a, you know, trying to make it, can't make it. So, of course, I mean, there's not a lot of spoilers that you can even have with this movie at this point. I mean, I feel like anybody watching this movie is going to go back to, you know, knows pretty much the base on its story.
Also, it sounds like the basis of the story is something that we've seen before, too.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, aspiring filmmakers trying to make it in L.A. Mm-hmm. And, they get the, you know, means of this movie because obviously he's... Wiseau is loaded, and it's all about them making this movie. So yeah, I feel they did a thing at the end of this movie too. At the they kind of do a shot by shot of just each character and like different scenes from that movie to this movie.
Oh yeah,
and they're all spot on, man. Like they almost everyone they cast is pretty like almost identical or just very, very similar to the original cast from The Room.
Okay.
And so that's, yeah, it's just at that, once it gets to the them actually making it, there's very, it's just pulled straight from, he embodies Wiseau pretty, pretty spot on. Franco does.
All right. Well, what's a, this is a flat out comedy, right?
A little bit. I mean, yes, there is very comedic, you know, Seth Rogen, all those guys and everything. I mean, there's stuff in the background that's going on that's funny because it's just them, you know, experiencing how weird this guy is on set and everything. So, yes, to that extent, it's, yes, straight comedy. But the part of it is, you know, like I said, when he's seeing the reactions to their whatever, it's almost you sympathize and it's kind of heartbreaking. You're like, oh, this dude. But yeah, I mean, to that, yeah, there's a little bit of drama involved, but it for the most part, it is pretty straight comedy.
Right.
A little bit of drama aspect, but, you know, their friendship and, you know, just how this Wiseau dude, he's a super dick sometimes.
Now, outside of like any cameos that you weren't expecting, or like any scenes you weren't expecting, was that might not have been in the book. Like, what was like one of the big surprises for you?
Just mainly from, I mean, they did obviously some certain tweaks from what the book is, you know, just basic stuff that you just, I don't think it would translate. I don't, off the top of my head, I don't really know. I think, I mean, I said Seth Rogen, I think he's, his character in the book is, it's not, I guess super important. Like he's like the script, you know, manager. He kind of helps him with that.
Yeah.
But he has like obviously a bigger role in this movie, being that it's Seth Rogen. So, I mean, I think he's pretty funny. It's just mainly him and Paul Scheer. Paul Scheer's playing Raphael, the director of photography.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of those two going at Tommy the whole time. So that dynamic, I think, works. It's pretty funny. That's probably the bright spot. One of the bright spots.
Seems like there'd probably be a lot of improv there.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and I mean, I just wonder how to, with Franco embodying him as Tommy, like how much improv he was doing in character through that, too.
Yeah.
So I mean, because you're trying to stay true to this guy. And that's what's funny is that Tommy Wiseau says it's 99.9%. But like his, what he was trying to get and come across with The Room and everything he did in this movie. So
gotcha.
That's kind of funny at that point. So
nice.
Jackie Weaver plays Claudette. She's the role of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Hutcherson, he's playing Denny. Zac Efron is Chris R, who's, you know, the bully in the movie. Yeah. The one scene, super funny. So, yeah, I mean, all those, I have no complaints as far as who they cast in these roles. Mm-hmm. I honestly can't see anybody else other than Franco playing it at this point. Like, I just don't know who else could play this and pull this off.
It's just the craziest choice for, to direct and then to star in.
Yeah, I know, man. First hearing about this movie being made, just like, what the fuck? Like, what is he going to do with this? Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, his brother Dave he's playing Greg, and I mean, it works, man. Everything in it works. So
that's fucking awesome. That's great to hear.
It's like I said, with the shot by shot at the end too. The you know, showing the original, you know, hi scene from each, like right next to each other.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just spot on.
That's awesome. Yeah, that attention to detail to make sure that you get everything right is just fucking great.
Yeah, and so I heard too that they were constantly just watching The Room on set over and over right before they would film the scenes that they were going to be playing in the movie. Because, I mean, it's a movie being made inside of a movie about this fucking movie. So,
yeah.
So, I mean, that whole dynamic in general, like, is the first. I can't think of a time that's been done before. I mean, I don't even, you know, it's, yeah, I don't know. But yeah, they're just rewatching scenes from The Room right before they actually act them out.
That's fucking awesome.
And they just kill it.
Now, do you recommend people read the book first? Or just like seeing the movie is good enough?
It's always a tough call because, I mean, a lot of the time I was looking for certain things from the book in this. Mm-hmm. And in the book, he jumps around. So he'll say, you know, one chapter is about, like, you know, the back behind the scenes of The Room. And then the next chapter is kind of how they met. And so, I mean, he jumps around quite a bit. So I was kind of, you know, thrown off in that aspect as you're looking for just, yeah, something that you just listened to.
Yeah.
But I don't think you have to read it. I this is another thing. I'll be very interested to see the people's opinions about this movie that actually haven't seen The Room. Because on that onset, I just don't know how big the crowd or the audience is going to be for that. But
yeah, I think that plays into the whole like inside baseball kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah. But to that person, I would imagine they would just get, I mean, it's a pretty funny, you know, kind of like almost, yeah, just a...
It kind of stands on itself.
Yeah, I think it does. I honestly do. They do a good job of that. But I can't look at it through that lens because gotcha. Yeah, it's in The Room so many times.
All right. Well, I was looking at the writers for this who adapted the book. And looks like the guys wrote 500 Days of Summer.
Mm-hmm.
Fault in Our Stars. Not exactly like, you know, fall down, laugh out loud, you know, comedies. Yeah.
No, not quite.
But, you know, like, I love 500 Days. I haven't seen Fault in Our Stars, but,
yeah.
You know.
Spectacular now, you know. Yeah.
But, you know, it's almost like these are younger guys who are giving, like, a younger guy's take on it.
Yeah, you'd think. But, I mean, it just doesn't feel like it, honestly. I don't know. I mean, I'm 28. I'm not freaking old by any means or young, but from my perspective, it didn't really feel like it was being written through a younger person's
any kind of lens like that.
Perspective, yeah, no,
gotcha.
So yeah, it works. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, all those guys producing and everything, they had a pretty big hand in, you know, the writing and everything going on.
Tight hour and 45 minutes.
Yeah, it went super fast. I wasn't dreading any amount of time I was in the theater by any means. So yeah, it's pretty quick.
Who's your?
And I think if you're a fan of The Room, I don't see any way that you won't like this movie. Like I just can't see it. It just works, man. It's funny. It's pretty much everything I was hoping for. So,
what moment or who is the big standout in this? I guess those are two questions.
I mean, it's got to be Franco as Wiseau, man. He's the standout. He is the movie. Yeah, he embodies everything he does. His walk, I think, might be the best. It's just really spot on with how exactly everything I've seen from Wiseau, how he's walking and everything. He just perfectly channels that. So yeah, that's probably the standout for sure.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are we talking award season?
That's what I was. I instantly started talking about this with some of the people I watched it with. You know, the chances of him getting nominated, and I don't know. I think maybe a nomination, but it's just so tough to call, man. I don't. The Academy is, you know, full of old fucking white dudes that.
Yeah, that's, you know, true.
Still don't vote for anything that's, you know, whatever. But I don't know. This is a very niche thing, but I think. And it's getting a lot of buzz. People are loving it, so I think it has a decent chance. You know, Daniel Day's last performance ever is, you know, a month away. So
that's true. I mean, yeah,
he's competing against that. He's competing against, you know, Gary Oldman in The Darkest Hour. So I don't know, a lot of those big dramatic performances. So it'll be interesting to see if he pulls it off. But I don't know.
I love Daniel Day, but I'd like to see him just fall on his dick on his last movie, fucking out the door.
I mean, I could see that, but I mean, Pete Anderson, I can't do that, man. I can't.
Yeah, I know. as much as I love to see it, that's probably not going to happen. All right. Let's see. Anything else that we didn't tackle here?
No, I think we covered it all.
All right.
Watch The Room, read the book, watch this movie.
Yeah, I don't think my girl has seen The Room.
She's not seen it?
I don't think so. She's probably just seen, like, the clips, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can go in, like, like 30 minutes are, like, the best scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get the gist, but I don't know. Watching the full thing just from beginning to end is it's a pretty fun experience.
Yeah, so maybe we'll do that. Maybe I won't even show it to her first. We'll just fucking go and see it.
Yeah, just throw it on.
Actually, Kupka's having a Christmas party this weekend. Let's fucking movie pass that shit.
There you go. You still don't have the movie pass, do you?
Me? No.
You just holding out?
Yeah. Because it's just the fucking. My local theater is like 5 minutes away from me, and it's not an AMC.
Yeah, gotcha.
The closest AMC is like 20 minutes away.
Well, it's not AMC exclusive.
What is it? I thought it was.
No, what? It's multiple.
What the fuck am I thinking of then?
I don't know, but it's multiple theaters. I mean, I'm sure I know like AMC has a deal with Dolby Atmos, so that's why, I mean, Cuppy's always talked to him, fifing over that.
I was thinking of AMG. Never mind.
AMG. There you go. It's an easy mistake. I can.
Yeah, it's like right there. It sounds the same.
Yeah. But no, I mean, you should get it while you can. I would. If I didn't work in this industry, I would not. I would definitely have a fucking movie pass.
Yeah. I feel like
there's no way that's gonna. I mean, yeah, it's gonna go under soon. So you gotta jump on one.
All right, you convinced me. I'm gonna go fucking get a movie pass right now.
Right.
Take a bus there. All right. How about we do the old now? Do we even need to go through all the options of skip it, stream it, see it?
And this is definitely skip it for me. So no, yes, okay. No, we don't need to. It's
you mean skip to it to see it right away, right?
Skip to it to see this, right? Yeah, you got to watch this. It's funny, man. It's good. I guess if you like The Room. You've read the book. I can't see any way that you won't enjoy this or get anything out of this. It's everything I wanted, at least. So
can't wait for this. Well, I wonder how this would do, you know, like you're talking about like old white dudes in Hollywood, studio system, voting boards, all that shit. Mm-hmm. You know, they're probably all going to go to jail or some shit or resign because they're all fucking creeps. But outside of the Oscars, what do you think something like the Spirit Awards or something like that, the Independent Spirit Awards?
Yeah, I thought that he had been like nominated for Gotham Awards and stuff like that. So, I mean, yeah, I think on that, like the indie circuit and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he'll do pretty well. Yeah. The old dude story, I mean, going back to old people. I was actually watching The Killing of a Sacred Deer in a theater a couple months ago.
Uh-huh.
And this trailer for this movie played. And so a little maybe perspective for, you know, the older, you know, crowd that maybe people that don't know what the fuck The Room is. This trailer got over and it had one of those, you know, obnoxious old dudes in the theater, like old couple. I'm pretty sure everybody's probably had them, you know, and
yeah, just
talk. They think that they're being quiet, but they're just loud as fuck. This dude looks over at his wife. He's like, I just don't fucking understand what that is. Like, well, of course you don't know because you've not seen The Room. I just don't know if it's going to cross over. So it's going to be tough.
If it doesn't, that wouldn't be the worst thing.
But yeah, that's true. But I also live in the Midwest with a bunch of fucking racists. You know, my state hasn't been blue in, you know, probably like 20, 30 years. So you never know. I don't know.
That's true. That's true. All right. Let's see. Critics' Choice Award. Nominated Best Actor, Best Actor in Best Comedy, Best Adapted Screenplay. Yeah, Gotham. Franco won for Best Actor.
Yep, there you go.
Independent Spirit Awards. He's nominated for Best Male Lead. Won the Hollywood Film Award for screenwriting. Let's see, International Film Festival. TIFF. Runner-up for the People's Choice Award.
Nice. Bumbray's old stomping grounds.
Bumbray. National Board of Review. Won Top 10 Films, Best Adapted Screenplay, LA Film Critics, runner-up for Best Actor, James Franco, and a couple more nominations that are going to be due out. We'll find out if they win next year.
What do you think everyone would do if this dude fucking won the Oscar for this role? That'd be pretty fucking nuts.
That would be amazing.
It would be.
It'd be really great for the community, for independent film. I think it'd be fucking great.
Yeah, it would be. It would change the fucking dynamic of the Oscars and stuff, but no. Probably just keeping the same shit with the King's Speech and stuff like that. The artists that just won every year.
Yeah, those two. I've never seen either of them.
Yeah, those are probably my two least favorite Best Picture winners of the last few years. Crash sucks too, but...
Oh, Crash fucking sucks balls.
That was a while back. I mean, it went on a run though. Departed was good. No Country for Old Men. You know, there's a couple of years in a row that I was on board with the winner, but yeah, more years than not, it's nah.
No, for sure. Especially since they opened it up to fucking 15 or whatever it is.
That was the thing too, is that a couple months ago it was like, are they going to be able to find whatever how many fucking Best Picture nominees this yeah, year? But yeah. last few weeks it's been kicking gear. So. You know, I think that I have a decent top 10 right now, and I still haven't seen the fucking lot of these movies that are left to come out, so.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
I feel like it happens every year, though. You're like, oh, this year sucks, and then by the end of the year, you can at least find 10 movies that you fucking really like and probably revisit the rest of your life or so.
Yeah,
probably.
Well, they fucking backload them all the time. Just kind of suckers. Yeah, I'm going to have to get on Movie Passing and see all these movies.
Yeah, man, it's like what fucking $10 a month. You can't beat that. I actually a little spoiler alert behind this. I paid for a ticket tonight. Oh, I sound spoiled. I'm sorry, but
holy shit,
haven't done that in a while. But my ticket was. I mean, it's Kansas City, so it's like $11.90 here or something. Is what my ticket was. It's like that's fucking Movie Pass for a month. And I mean, you live in Chicago, which is a bigger city than this fucking place. So I'm sure your tickets are a bit more anyway.
Yeah, my little local shit theater is like $10 or something. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, you can get most matinees around here. They're like before noon. There's like probably 6:50, and then noon. Like after that, noon to five matinee is like 8 to 9, and then after that, it's like 10 to 12 to 13 at night. So yeah, get the fuck Movie Pass, Alex.
God damn it! Get off my shit already. All right, let's see. Before we move on, to what you're going to be reviewing in the next couple of weeks, number score. No, we definitely are saying see it, but what do you give this on 10?
That's a good question. I'm going to go with an 8. Mm-hmm. 8 on 10 after first watch. I think over subsequent viewings, it might go up to a 9, but I'll just go 8 first watch for sure. I think I've said it already. If you like these others, you'll like this. I just can't see any way you won't. So it's a definite C.
Yeah, it's the replay value on this seems pretty high.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a nice fucking companion piece for the room. You know, watch that and then watch this back to back. Maybe in the future. I don't know. Maybe a double feature. I don't know. A lot of theaters around here were doing that tonight, too. It would be like, show the Disaster Artist, then the room is free after that.
Yeah, the music box I mentioned earlier, I think they were doing that, too. No. Fucking goddamn. So
there you go, man. Tommy Wiseau, you know, his movie is now made a fucking movie, Hollywood movie, all about this dude.
It's incredible. It's just fucking crazy to think about. Because it's just been such a fucking punchline for like 10 years.
Yeah. That's crazy, dude. It's intended all along. I wanted it to be a comedy all along. Yeah. Yeah, fucking right you did.
Okay. Yeah, sure you did.
It worked for him now.
Fucking 9-minute sex scene in the beginning of the movie. Sure. That's some fucking the worst R&B music I've ever heard.
Oh, that was the worst part of the book, too. Like, the fucking, how he just embarrassed that poor girl, too, that she had, like, back knee and stuff. And he's just like, what the fuck? Just losing his mind. Just like, an American girl. Like, dude, you piece of shit. You're such a bad But then you fucking feel bad for the guy. It's like, I just can't.
Yeah, it's like I say, he's a puppy. He doesn't know any better.
He doesn't.
He's gonna shove his fucking nose in some shit and his own shit and be all right. Come on, learn, bitch. All right, now, Chetsy, what do we got coming up? What are we reviewing in the next few weeks, or at least next week?
So I know for a fact next week. So next week, it's been slim pickings the last few weeks. We did catch up last week, didn't do one the week before, but next week we have Ferdinand. No, it's not what you're expecting me to say. We have The Last Jedi. Star Wars The Last Jedi.
Oh. Next week.
As well as Ferdinand is next week, too. New animated movie. So
the fuck
fucking
is that?
Opening against The Last Jedi. It's a movie with John Cena as the main character. It's all the fucking wrestling.
Oh, yeah. He's the bull, right?
Yep, he's the bull. Yeah, so there's that. Peyton Manning's voice. I don't know. This is an animated movie. But it's opening against The Last Jedi, so... We'll see how that counter programming works out for it. But Shape of Water also expands next week more. So I think it went from 2 theaters last week. It's going to like 500 this week or something of that nature, maybe. And then it's going to expand more next week. So
wow, nice.
Possibly that. So but I know for sure The Last Jedi and Ferdinand that will be next week. So we're into the official, a lot of them. There's, I think, from December 15th to the 25th, there are over 9 new wide releases, maybe 10. It's plentiful. So there's a lot of them coming out.
God damn.
Yeah. It's going to be packed, the theater. It's going to be crazy. So many fucking movies.
Do you want to do a re-review of Geostorm?
I'd probably rather just fucking walk into traffic blindfolded.
Oh, okay, so skip it, is what you're saying.
I'll do it now, yeah. Skip that fucking piece. The fall was bad, dude. The fall was really bad. There was a lot of fucking terrible movies. Hey, maybe we're here now. So I've done positive reviews back-to-back weeks, so I feel pretty okay about myself.
No, this is good. We're fucking riding the wave. Let's do it.
I'm not just negative Nancy of the binge-verse.
Well, Art from Cali might call you Nancy, but...
Yeah, he probably would. But maybe Justin Smith will... Maybe I'm perky in this review because I've been able to drinking this time. He said I sounded so... what did he say?
He said that even though you love a movie, it sounds like you fucking hate it.
Hey, sorry. It's fucking early sometimes. I sound like a zombie. But hey, we're drinking now. So.
Exactly. Come on, Justin. How about you drink? Because you sound like you're pissed off all the time, too.
Cradley Booper? Got nothing, okay?
See, that's the thing. Cradley Booper is drunk and high as a motherfucker all the time and having a great time. Bradley, Justin Smith Cooper, on the other hand, very serious.
Yeah, very serious guy. Just kidding. Love you, Justin. No hate.
Oh, hi, Justin.
But fuck Art from Cali, right?
Yeah, exactly. Come on, it's not about you all the time, Art from Cali. Get over it.
That's right.
Oh, by the way, did you see that the new Jurassic Park trailer premiered during the Saints-Falcons game?
Yeah, I did see that.
It was fucking garbage. It was so fucking gross.
Yeah, I didn't hate the first one as much as some people, but or the Jurassic World. I didn't think it was good by any means, but it was like whatever. But yeah, I haven't watched it yet. So I mean, I got home from the theater and we did this, so I have to put myself through it.
It just seems like a series like that that's about fucking dinosaurs should be a lot better overall.
I mean, I guess it's dinosaurs, right?
Yeah, I mean, come on, they're prehistoric as fuck.
Hey, didn't they get Goldblum back for this one too?
If not, they should.
I think they did because the tagline for this fucking movie is like "Life finds a way." So, yeah,
that's really good.
You gotta get Goldblum back.
Shirtless Goldblum too.
Yeah. Did you watch that? There was like a video going around online. It was Goldblum reviewing tattoos of himself.
No.
It's super funny. It's pretty funny. Goldblum's the man. I fucking love Goldblum.
Goldblum rules. I have, I don't know where the fuck I was, but I was in a YouTube rabbit hole looking at shit. I came across somebody on Conan O'Brien a couple of years ago doing the most spot on, if not the only, Jeff Goldblum impersonation I ever heard. Close your eyes. Holy shit, that's Jeff Goldblum talking right now.
Nice.
That's pretty awesome. Maybe I'll link it in the article. Probably not.
Do it.
Yeah. All right, let's get out of here. Let's look forward to the next couple of weeks where you'll be reviewing 35 movies.
Probably.
You'll have to fucking narrow down to your top 10.
Yeah, but hey, at least, I mean, this has been the longest binge view so far, and it was only one movie. So, hey, maybe, I don't know.
More alcohol. That's what I'm saying.
That's true. I gotta get Law to start drinking in the morning, right?
All right, let's do this.
See ya.
You've been listening to the Binge Media Podcast Network on bingemedia.net. Subscribe to us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter and Facebook, buy some merch at bingemedia.net/shop, subscribe to our newsletter at bingemedia.net/newsletter, and don't forget,
I can't get enough of soup.
Bob Odenkirk.